fault.
Except apparently Rookie can't win Mascot of the Year, and some creepy freaking thing wins. I don't know what the hell that was. What was that?
I saw he lost, but I never saw who won.
You need to see this thing that won. Google, like, Mascot Mania winner. You will see the monstrosity.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, it's like shark thing?
Yeah!
Oh, God.
What is that? They voted that over Rookie. What is their problem?
It almost looks like the shark is like your awkward uncle who wears Hawaiian t-shirts.
He reminds me of like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, where we're not in as quite good spirit as we were last week when the Yankees took 3 out of 4 from the Tigers. Back when the Tigers were still alive, or more alive.
But after a ringing victory on Friday night, the Yankees have not won since then, and the offense has just been sputtering along as they've lost a couple of games to the Indians and a couple of games to the Orioles, and now they're 8 back of the division, and that's looking pretty damn unlikely at that point. So it's second wild card or bust? Yay? What are your thoughts, Matt F. and Matt P?
I wouldn't say no.
It appears like even just in general, the playoffs are pretty thin. Pretty
would
thin.
Would you call the division at this to the Orioles?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I think even the Blue Jays are going to have a hell of a time trying to catch the Orioles. They're just...
They're
in the middle of a hot streak right now, but at this point, they'd have to play pretty poorly through the end of the season to not win the division.
Here's the way I see it. The way I see it is that the Orioles playing hot right now are very similar to when the Brewers were very hot at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Brewers, in my opinion, aren't that great of a team, but they just got hot at the beginning of the season, and that sort of carried them the rest of the way. Same with the Orioles. I don't think the Orioles are going to play great the rest of the season, but I also think that the Yankees and the Blue Jays will probably play pretty much the same, a little bit over or a little bit below 500, and that's like the Yankees would have to win like every single game for the rest of the season.
Yeah. That's just the advantage of building like an early lead, or in this case, just a really good hot streak.
Yeah,
I mean, the perfect example is, not the perfect example, but a pretty good example in 2002, when the A's won 20 games in a row. The Angels won, like, 99 games that year, so that was the difference between that, them winning the division, them winning the wild card. But, yeah, it's just...
It's true.
Baseball is just getting thrown into a loop, and now you've even got craziness with the Royals on top of the AL Central, and they just... I'm pretty sure they just took a series from the A's.
Yep, crazy doings. But I think that now, after reading all the comments about how the Yankees are doing, and especially a lot has been talked about the offense, because people say like the pitching's been fine, and it's been like a duct tape rotation, but it's kind of held together. The thing is, that's kind of not scary, but what people don't realize is that if you look at the lineup from top to bottom, like each individual player, there are only a couple of them that are actually very disappointing, if you really think about it. Because, if you go through the order, Jeter, you were expecting nothing. More of, like, unblind optimism than, like, you didn't know what Teixeira was going to do or if he was going to be healthy. Ellsbury's been hitting exactly how he's been in his career. Beltran is 37, and he's acting like he's 37, even though he's hitting lately. And really, the big disappointment is, like, Brian McCann hitting-wise.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of them aren't that far out of the imagination that they happen, which is more of, like, I think people were just so... I guess the downside to getting all those free agents is people thought that was immediately going to make a great team when really they weren't that. They're not that far off from what they actually were. Because if they win however many games they're projected to win, was like 83 wins or 84 wins, that's only like 3 off from what the preseason projections were.
Yeah, sure enough. Though I would say, the trade deadline acquisitions of Prado and Drew have not really worked out so far. So that's contributing to part of the disappointment right now. I think they expected a little bit better than Drew. And I think Headley's cooled off a little bit, too.
Well, the past week he's been decent. I mean, it's really his defense is what's been great.
Yeah.
He made several great plays against the Orioles.
Yeah, I've been satisfied with Headley more so. I mean, but I think the glove is just so valuable right now. Yeah. It's like, the only one who has more defensive runs saved above average is McCann, and, he's, like, a great defensive catcher, and he's also played, like, 100 games there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Cervelli is a pretty fine backup, too. So it's not like he's been the problem. I mean, he had a home run the other day. So he's not like he's been the problem in the lineup. It's just... Just sluggish.
I think it's just more... Yeah, it's just partially that people sort of had a vision in their head, like, what the team would look like if everybody played healthy, you know, or played normally. But the problem is, like, the reason why the projection systems, like, obviously didn't like the Yankees this year, and... It tends to agree with it now, is the fact that all of those things that happened were, like, baked into the projection system to begin with. You know, all of those discounts about Beltran getting hurt, those were things that were already in there because he already had, you know, serious injuries in the past, and he's 37. And other things, like, I think the only thing you really couldn't predict, like I said, was McCann not hitting is just, like, random variation. More than it is something happened. I don't think he's broken, but it's just one of those unfortunate things, like where the offensive production is just sort of banked. There's nothing you could do about it.
Right.
Yep.
And the rest of them, just the team just wasn't that good to be, like, it was okay to begin with. And I think we had already established that at the beginning of the year. The expectations were pretty much second wild card to begin with. Mm-hmm. So.
It's just kind of a weird, like, I guess it's kind of weird that they're even still in the race because, you know, their pitching is overperformed. So, if pitching wasn't doing as well as it has, then they probably wouldn't even be that close. They'd probably be in the same vicinity as, like, the Rays, the Indians are.
Yeah, that's what they should be. I mean, come on, like, were they, like, did people really think that the spot stars from, like, Shane Green and Ismael Rogers and Chase Whitley were actually going to work out as well as they did? I mean, Chase Whitley fell apart, and but for a brief period of time, they'd, you know, toss up a sixth spot and just sort of calm things down for a day. And that's something that I don't think anyone really expected to happen. So...
Chris Capuano, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, until... Kind of.
Yeah, the last game.
I mean, the fact they're competing is crazy, but I think their time is running out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, at this point, you know, they're... For the second wild card, they're chasing the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, they're not nearly as bad as they're showing. Mm-hmm. They're a much, much better team. That's the problem with the second wild card with a team like the Yankees. It's not like they only have to battle with one team that's ahead of them in the division. It's like now they have to battle with five teams that are all competing for the wild card. So not only do they have to play well, but like they have to get lucky that other teams aren't going to play well as well.
And Kansas City has been on such a roll lately that they're pretty good in the playoffs. They're winning the Central. They seem to be in a very good position to at least make the wild card.
I think that they're about maybe one bad week away from being eliminated. I think that would be a fair estimation.
Yeah.
I mean, this past week almost knocked them out, and it was, like, mildly awful. It could have been much, much worse.
Like, it's felt worse than it has been. So, like, they haven't won since Friday, but they've also only played four games.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think part of it is, like, I know it's purely a perception thing, but every time they have, like, a good week where they win a couple games, they go out and play like crap the next week. They can't, like, sustain anything.
I think it's just more so the definition of a 500 team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, there's always a chance that a 500 team could have a run of 10 games where they, like, win 9 out of 10, but it's just the probability of that happening is just very low.
Right.
And it's funny because if you think about what the difference between a 500 team and a 600 team, it's really only one game every 10. You know, it's such a weird, I find it very strange that people have this tangible feeling that it's different for a team like the Yankees now versus when they won like 100 games. But in fact, if every 10 games, they only won one more game. But you can definitely tell there's no like 5 or 6 game winning streak. And they lose one, and then they win three. It's like they go on a 5-game winning streak, and they lose 4.
Yeah,
they're an incredibly streaky team, as well as being mediocre. Which is I'd rather they just win every other game.
I'd rather they win every game. Ideal.
that would be just, nice.
Yeah, 162-0.
Once I like experimented on one of the MLB The Show games, where I made like a whole entire team of players who were rated like 99 on everything. And simulated it, and even then I went like 152-10.
Well, like, I guess that covers the state of the team.
We can talk about one bright spot from Wednesday, was Michael Pineda's return. I thought that was fun.
Definitely. Yeah. Nice to have something exciting to watch. I mean, I haven't really been that inspired by, like, watching David Phelps grind out six innings or watching Esmiel Rogers throw a baseball. Like, the whole thing, even if they didn't win, you know, like, get in the playoffs this year, I was just excited to watch, like, guys like Pineda and Tanaka pitch because they're just exciting young players to watch play, and that's fun. But when they got hurt, it was kind of like not only was this team still mediocre, but they're just nothing. Like, the watchability is just gone down tremendously. I like watching, like, Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
That's pretty much – I just like watching Brett Gardner play. Like, they're pretty much like Brett Gardner, like, Jacoby Ellsbury, and company.
No, like, Phelps, Capuano, and all them are just sort of, like, things that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're there.
They're just passing ships in the night.
They're Sporkle quiz names and nothing more.
2013 ATCVD will be called Things That Happened.
Yep.
Because I wonder, and this is interesting in terms, you know, this is always brought up in terms of, like, business model of teams, like, how much do big-name players get, you know, bring in revenue for teams? And you have to say that, like, Tanaka brought in a lot of revenue for the Yankees, just, like, so many people tuned in to watch him pitch and, like, came to see, and, like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I personally tried to find a game that he was pitching at to go to, and it didn't work out because he got hurt, but, like, that's what it came to. Like, people would want to go to see him play or, like, watch him play, and, like, it was kind of like last year, like, when A-Rod came back, and, like, people wanted to see him play after the whole thing happened. But I think that's a big part of why this team's been so annoying to watch, is the watchability has not been 2013 level, but it's been like, I don't really care about, like, the revolving door that like watching David Hoff blow a game.
I think viewership is up, yes, this year, but I think the main reason for that is, you know, Derek Jeter's farewell tour, so a lot of people are tuning in for that, even though he's very uninspiring in terms of play right now. But it does make me concerned for, like, yeah, you know, who's going to watch the team next year when Jeter's gone? All the icons to the championship teams are pretty much gone unless you are like us and have a special affinity for, like, Brett Gardner.
Yeah, I think this is a team that doesn't necessarily know what it's going to be or what it is.
No, they're definitely at a crossroads.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know if this team is going to... If my prediction, and this is a, like, totally off the cuff, who even knows, it could end up being like kind of like the 1980s, not like the bad 1980s, but like the mid 1980s, when it was like they're good because they signed some free agents who were decent players, but they never were able to, like, get above that threshold. I mean, that could just be me, but I think the team, the biggest problem is that signing these free agents are nice and they help. But at the same time, it's getting harder to do that and be successful because the free agents just aren't as good anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to get like a 6 or 7 war. Yeah, you're not going to get a 6 or 7 war player through free agency. Like, it's just not going to happen.
As you mentioned, the team would be a lot more watchable with more young talent, and they are at a crossroads where I think I would liken it more to, like, the later 80s than the mid-80s, because the mid-80s, they were good. They probably would have made the playoffs if they were a wild card. But, like, the late 80s is when Mattingly's back started to cause them to miss time. They didn't really have a lot of great pitching. And so right now they also seem to be at sort of a period where they don't have, like, a huge influx of young talent. And they really need that boost to come from within, because they're going to struggle to get it from outside the organization with so many teams locking up their stars to extensions.
Yeah, I mean, like, when the Yankees signed Jason Giambi after 2001, his first year, he was a monster. I mean, he obviously tested positive for steroids, but at the same time, you knew that was quality of player that you were getting when you signed him. Those type of players that are that good, you're just not going to find them, like, free agent. I mean, like, if you look at the free agent pool, it's like Pablo Sandoval, Chase Headley, J.J. Hardy, probably not Hanley Ramirez, but we'll see. And then, like, John Lester and Max Scherzer. That's it. And you can't build a team like that. I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with the Yankees signing free agents, because if you have the money, you should spend it. You shouldn't just pocket it. That would be ridiculous. But at the same time, it's gonna get tougher, and maybe they'll get more creative and try to go into rebuild mode, because that would be ridiculous. So they're gonna try to win and rebuild at the same time. I don't know. It's a tough position.
Yeah, it's hard to really know what exactly is coming in the future. I mean, I know Hal Steinbrenner said they haven't made a definitive decision about whether or not they're going to bring back Brian Cashman. Well, I think they probably will end up bringing him back, and they're just covering their asses so that they don't have to be oh, well, you said that he was coming back. So they could very well choose to move in a different direction. I don't know.
So I guess that goes into the next topic, which was talking about Brian Cashman. I guess we were just talking about Brian Cashman. Do you guys think that he'll be re-signed?
Yes.
I think so.
I tend to agree. I mean, partially.
They already said that he's... earlier in the season, I think ESPN New York had reported that he would most likely be coming back, and I think... This is just Hal Steinbrenner being well, maybe, because they don't want to give him too much leverage yet.
Yeah. I just think that when it comes to every fan, it's really hard to tell what is Brian Cashman's decision and what is not. Mm-hmm. Because the Steinbrenners are obviously very involved, so it's almost impossible. I mean, you can pretty much tell, which deals have whose fingerprints on it based on their history. But it's hard to always tell who pushed for which deal or why they do certain things. So it's really tough to evaluate Brian. It's not like Billy Beane where, you're well aware that, pretty much everything within the payroll is, within his control. And, he has, general autonomy, which Brian Cashman generally does since the past few years. But certain times, with the Ichiro contract and the Rafael Soriano one and certain things like that and Alfonso Soriano too.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily clear who's calling the shots on which deal, so it's hard to evaluate him as a whole.
Yeah, and I think just from the general comments from the front office, including Cashman, they're pretty frustrated that the offense hasn't been clicking the way they thought they would be. And I heard the comments today that Hal Steinbrenner made about Brian Cashman, they haven't made a decision. They could also just be very frustrated, because remember at the deadline, Cashman said he had to go ask them for some extra money to be able to bring in Drew and Prado, so maybe they're just kind of frustrated. It's only been a couple weeks, but they could be annoyed that it's we gave you this extra money and these guys are doing nothing, so.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know that, we don't know. The thing is about Hank and Hal Steinbrenner, which I guess is a good thing, is we don't really know their personalities.
Right.
George Steinbrenner, obviously, we're thinking of it, George would be very frustrated if they weren't immediately producing. We don't know, if they're actually how frustrated they are. Maybe, it could just be posturing. They could just be saying that to just sort of say, we're tabling this discussion and we don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing you can evaluate Cashman accurately is things like the draft. Partially, because that's a lot of Damon Oppenheimer in Tampa, but really trades. That's the only thing that that Brian Cashman is doing directly. Maybe he has to ask for more money, but he negotiated the deal, or he was able to get the deal done. Maybe Billy Epler helped him, but those are things you can... And in terms of that record, he has an excellent trade record in terms of making deals and finding value in guys who you wouldn't even expect.
Right.
So I think that is going to definitely play a factor, because is someone comes in going to be able to make those same deals? Because if you think about it this way, a lot of those deals he made, for Brandon McCarthy, wasn't there any other team that thought about getting Brandon McCarthy?
Probably, yeah.
Or maybe they were so down on him, but the fact he was able to spin him for someone like Vidal Nuno is would some other GM be able to do that?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't really know. It's very hard to evaluate him as well. I think he's an above-average GM. It's hard to evaluate him, totally. But he's possibly better than what the alternatives would be, because we don't know what they would be.
Right, right. I mean, it's the old adage that, the enemy you know is better than the enemy you don't know. I don't really consider Cashman an enemy. I think he's pretty good. And I know a lot of a lot of national columnists have said he might be the most underrated general manager in baseball, just because he enters the season with these unrealistic expectations of the fan base every year of, okay, well, they're going to win the World Series or at least come close. Like,
yeah,
but that's just not realistic for a team. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I know that would go under Greg's category of, like, the spoiled fans, which I think is partially true. That's why I like to look at his moves, the ones that are, like, his best moves are the ones that you would make if he was a small market GM. Mm-hmm. Which I would be a good small. I mean, like, my favorite, Wilson Bettamy for Nick Swisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, stuff like that. Like, he obviously was looking at Nick Swisher and, like, understood that he was having a player that was very underrated. Because the thing is, a lot of those free agent signings, you can criticize them for the deal themselves, but you can't criticize him for signing free agents because that's kind of, he's kind of required.
Yeah, that's the MO. I mean, like, you know, when the Yankees didn't sign anyone during that 2012-13 offseason, we were all annoyed, and so was the fan base, because they, like, didn't, they're like, oh, we're going to try to go under this payroll. But they weren't prepared to do that at all, and so as a result, from, like, not signing anyone, they had, I think, an even worse season than this year in 2013.
Hey, you know, they
signed. Kevin Youkilis. You're right. I'm sorry. That big money contract.
Yeah, and Vernon Wells.
Yeah, they traded for Vernon Wells. That's the smart
trade for Vernon Wells. And,
after
yeah.
Curtis Granderson broke,
and then it was funny because the criticism you could see quickly changed the exact. Then the criticism was get rid of Plan 189 and yada, yada, yada. And then this year, it's the exact opposite. We're spending too much money. And don't sign these free agents. And they're never really happy with either option unless it works out, then they don't care. So I think that's what it kind of comes down to. I think the Yankees are just going to do whatever that has to take.
No, it's like sign free agents. No, not that one.
No, sign the other one. Don't you know? Well, like, my favorite are the people. It's like, why didn't they sign Nelson Cruz? It's like, Nelson Cruz didn't sign until February because his demands were way too high.
And he was coming off steroids suspension and, like, I believe injuries as well. And, like, all these things that, like, you could never have known unless you had this sixth sense of foresight.
Mm-hmm. Or the people that are like, oh, they should have re-signed Granderson. But these are the same. A lot of these people are the same people that were like, oh, he strikes out too much. Get rid of him.
All or nothing.
Yeah.
That's why it's very difficult to criticize him for any free agent signings, because it's very hard to project that. And like I said, it's not like this is a team that doesn't sign any free agents and then he went out and decided to spend a bunch of money on players that, like, they had never, kind of like Omar Minaya. Like, the Mets never really did that type of thing, and all of a sudden he went out and started signing players left and right. That would be something you'd maybe criticize someone for, because it's like deviating from the norm. But, like, the Yankees have been doing this for many, many years. Like, this is not a new practice. They've come down.
And it's like,
like, if it was Brian Cashman, it could have been Joe Schmo. Like, they would have signed free agents over 30, regardless of who it was.
And there were good arguments for signing pretty much everyone they did. I mean, with McCann, he was the best catcher on the market, and they had one of the worst catching squads in 2013. With Ellsbury, yeah, they gave him a huge contract, but he's still going to provide pretty good value, good defense. And even with Carlos Beltran, a lot of people, especially in Pinstripe Alley, were big fans of the contract. But even, like, on the most basic level, the Yankees struggled with the bat in 2013. And Carlos Beltran, even though he's old, is supposed to be a really good hitter. So even though he's with declining defense, he's still supposed to bring a good bat to the lineup. And though he's been injured, he's been up and down. So,
yeah. It's really been injury. I mean, when he's been playing, like, when he started getting healthy, he's been hitting. Like, past month, he's been hitting. Man, past 2 months, almost. So,
yeah, it's just,
yeah, it's very hard to criticize him for making these moves when you would have never known which ones would work out. I mean, granted, in terms of value, none of these deals actually work out, financially speaking. Like, you're not going to get as much value back. But at the same time, if I come up to you and say you have $200 million to spend on players, and you say, you know what, I'm only going to spend $100, the fan, like the Yankee fans, would be berserk. They'd be saying, how dare Brian Cashman not spend his money, pocket himself, and we're going to watch a terrible team play, and it would just go on and on.
Yeah, and they're going to be frustrated, like, if they don't re-sign David Robertson, even though, like, if they do re-sign him and he does struggle in a little in some parts next year, then they'd be like, oh, well, don't sign a reliever contract.
The criticism just keeps jumping back and forth.
Incidentally, with David Robertson, they really should have tried to sign him before the season. I know you don't like extending relievers, but David Robertson is a pretty reliable reliever, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess at this point, they just have to hope that he's not asking for too much in the offseason. I would like to see him back. I mean, I know Girardi and Cashman are good at building bullpens that are pretty reliable, past couple games notwithstanding. And, you know, sure, you can conjure a Dellin out of nowhere sometimes, but, you know, even if you have Dellin enter the closer's role, who are you going to put in the setup role? I mean, maybe Lindgren will be ready. Maybe Tyler Webb will be ready, but you don't know that for sure. And David Robertson's been pretty reliable, and the Yankees have the financial flexibility to re-sign him, as long as he's not asking for, like, a Papelbon deal.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's getting that again.
Well, everyone says, like, oh, Girardi can get, like, good seasons out of bullpens, but, like, even when Torrey Wade was doing well, it's not like you're like, yeah, Torrey Wade for all the big leverage innings. Like, he was still used as, like, in the seventh. And I probably wouldn't have trusted him against, like, the team's best hitters.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine for what he was, but...
Like, one of the reasons that I was advocating the Yankees shouldn't sign, like, you know, proven closer in the offseason this year was that, like, I was pretty sure that David Robertson could step into the closer's role, and I think we were pretty confident. I mean, a lot of people didn't know about Dylan Betances, but, I mean, we'd been tracking him throughout 2013 in the minors, how he went from the rotation to the bullpen and was just lights out. So it seemed like there was a good chance that he could step into a big league bullpen and be maybe not quite as lights out as he actually is, but pretty damn good. So with now, I don't know, it's a bit more of a question mark, and I would like to see Robertson back. But I guess we can extend that discussion later on. Once the season's done.
Definitely.
Okay. Well,
but were we all in agreement about Cashman that he should be let go and Amaro should be hired? We agreed on that, right?
Oh, well, I think they should trade Dellin for the rights to Amaro.
Yeah,
that's and you know, works. If they have to assume Ryan Howard's contract, then assume Ryan Howard's contract. You just got to get Rube in there.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get all those RBIs with Howard, so...
Yeah, I mean, how Yankees need those ribeyes.
I think that instead of, you know, the Phillies, I mean, the Cubs are the Cubes. I think that the Phillies are the Rubes.
They really are.
They're the Rubes.
Someone needs to spare Chase Utley from that, but apparently he enjoys it, so... Alright, I think we can go into the tweet bag. It's not very big this week. Well, there was one question in the tweet bag that was actually directly related to our previous discussion, where Mike Mordick 2 on Twitter asked if we thought Cashman had been on the job too long and how much of this was on him. And I think we just discussed pretty thoroughly. Obviously, he's not like completely absolved of blame, because I don't think saying that is fair either. But I think you can't put it all on him. And I don't think he's been on the job too long. I mean, he's been on the job for, 16 years now, and he's been pretty good for most of it, so...
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yep.
All right. And then, next question from Aaron Shelby Rose. Why can't we have nice things? I mean, lately. The last 20 years have been pretty damn nice.
We get plenty of nice things.
Yeah, but I'll say humbler.
Yeah, I'd say lately that's true. But at the same time, if it means you get 20 years of good and then a couple of years of I'll take it.
Yeah, lifetime, we're still way ahead on...
Yeah, look at the Royals. The Royals are getting excited over, like, 2 good weeks.
Yeah, and Justin Bopp is... Like, for most of his life, he's lived without seeing the Royals make the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs since 1985, so it's just like...
Not even just make the playoffs, just be good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've just not really... It's not even like, oh, they won 85 games and they didn't make... It's like, they never won more than 80 games.
No, they were in contention last year, and before that, they hadn't been in contention since 2003. before that, they hadn't been in contention since, like, the early 90s at the earliest. Okay. The last question is on the website from Sean Run DMC. With Bud Selig officially retiring in January and the recent announcement that Rob Manfred will succeed him, I have two questions. One, what would you give Bud Selig as a farewell gift? No, it does not need to be a nice gift, so a handshake and a get the bleepity bleep out of here is acceptable.
He can have, like, a bag of potatoes.
I will give him a Montreal Expos uniform with a 1994 World Series patch.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll give him his Hall of Fame plaque because, I mean, he'll get one just because. God. Might as well get it over with now.
A signed posse of Jonah Carey flipping him off.
Yeah, for all the talk about the Jeter hagiography, I'm not ready for the Bud Selig hagiography when he retires in January. And then the moment he comes up eligible for the Hall of Fame, he's getting put in. So I guess that'd be 2016,
yep.
17, one of them.
Yeah, he just gets a jar of Jonah Carey's tears.
This is what you've done.
or his soul. This is Jonah Carey's soul.
I have so much respect for Jonah Carey, and like anytime he like discusses the Expos, he does like go into a burst of rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Montreal this summer, and it was just like, it's just sad because it's such a great city, and that stadium is just run down. Like, it's just and it just looks like you go to like a haunted house and you could see like someone used to live here and it used to be fun here. That's kind of what that
looks. They don't
like.
Really like use it for anything anymore.
Just looks
so.
Like, no, like I couldn't even get in. It was completely empty and it was completely like almost abandoned. They use like the parking lot, but that's it.
I think
like the Montreal MLS team plays a couple of games there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, but and so there are some there may be some concerts they have there, but generally it's like it's just almost looks like a construction site that's just empty.
Well, I mean, they were able to use it for those exhibition games and spring training, and I think they're going to try to do that again next year, which I think is really cool.
To be fair, that stadium always looked like a construction site anyway.
It's true. But, I mean, that would be nice if they got a team.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the next question from Sean. If you were elected baseball commissioner, what would be your first act toward improving the game? I would add two expansion teams. I don't have a problem with that. And I would put one in Montreal, and
yep.
I don't know about the other one, but I'd be curious.
Some say Portland, yeah. Because the thing about Portland that would be nice is you would get a cross-town, like a cross-state rival with the Mariners, and you would also, like, I guess this is more of a bigger question, is how would you feel about the talent being more spread out across the league? Because there's so much parity in the league now, how would you feel if now there was even more talent spread across two more teams?
I mean, I think that'd be fine. There's a lot of talent going around these days, and sure, you would have like a couple.
Oh, yeah.
You would have a couple lean years from the Rays and the Diamondbacks were absolutely terrible in their first years, and so were the Marlins and the Rockies in their first years. But you know, those will just happen with expansion teams. But like, give it some time, and they'll eventually grow in, and eventually the bad talent will go to other teams. I mean. It's not the end of the world if we have baseball in more cities, in more cities.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
And I think baseball is going to continue to like grow worldwide, and that'll probably help a little bit with the talent gap.
Yeah. Put a team in Puerto Rico for all I care.
Yeah, that would be great. Put a team everywhere for all I care. I mean, the more baseball, the
Anchorage,
better.
Alaska. Anchorage, Snow Dogs, DAWGZ.
Yes. So the expansion teams, I would want to add two more expansion teams. I understand it's a complex process, but that'd be another thing.
My personal one would be, I like the expansion. Mine would have to do with the blackout restrictions.
Oh, yeah.
That would be gone. That would be absolutely. I mean, I am so sick of like not having cable and not being able to watch the Yankee game because I'm technically in the zone, but I can't get the channel. That's not good.
Yeah, that is frustrating as all hell.
They used to have something like they used to allow you to buy,
like, yes on demand
if you had cable.
Right?
Yes, they used to have that, and I had that last year, but then they discontinued that. And that was great. It's like $30. Like, I didn't mind the $30 or whatever, but now it's just, you can't get it. So it's incredibly frustrating to watch Yankee games sometimes when I'm at school. So, and in general, it's just like, for, there are certain places like in the Midwest and some in the Southeast where like there, you'll be blacked out of like six to eight teams.
In Iowa.
And
no.
You can't watch
Iowa.
That's right. Yeah, in Iowa, you get blocked out of like 8 teams.
It was rough.
Like, how does that help your revenue, really? Because, you know, if you really want more ad revenue, you'll get more if people are watching the game.
You would think, but... Or, like, the silly thing where, like,
yeah,
Kenny gets blacked out in North Carolina from Orioles games. It's like, serious?
Yeah, I mean, it more so has to do with the way that cable companies, like, almost create monopolies in each regional section where they agree to stay out of each other's competition. So it's more of, like, a cable company issue than it is... it's also a Major League Baseball issue. It's both of them together. But, yeah, if I could almost bypass all that red tape, I would do that. Because it would make the game expand so much more in terms of revenue. It would be crazy how much money baseball would make.
Yeah, and that cable network bubble is just going to burst soon, too. So that's not going to be pretty when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's generally going to be like any other monopoly that gets broken up. Because you can't have, like, three cable companies in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at every channel that baseball's on, they're either owned by Comcast, Time Warner, Fox. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's like pretty much the only, and like sometimes the cable company owns the network, so it's a complete conflict of interest. So I think eventually all of that will get sorted. It may not be for their 15 to 25 years, who even knows, but it would be nice if that got sorted out eventually.
Yeah. What would be your change, Matt?
You gotta replace the home run derby with a mascot fight.
Oh, yeah. I'd be down with that.
I mean, if that's too morbid, maybe just have a mascot home run derby.
Don't they do that?
No,
I would know about that.
I thought I heard of them doing a mascot home run derby at one point. Like, it wasn't like... I'm not sure if it was on the field, but somewhere, I thought. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, the Yankees would have to use Dandy.
No, they'll just send Quills.
They'll
send it. Or no, send Rookie. It'll be great.
Yes, Rookie would just win.
Another acceptable answer would have been get rid of the home field advantage of the All-Star game, because it's just silly.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of people complaining about, like, oh, look who the fans voted in. It's like, whatever, it's a thing. Fan, but don't make it count. Go by the better record. I know it's not perfect, but it's better than that.
Yep.
Okay, so that'll do it for the tweet bag. Next, we'll move on to Matt F's B-Ref segment.
So I've changed it on the fly. I originally was going to look up. I was trying to find the biggest mop. I tried looking up like players who pitched more than 3 innings in games the Yankees lost, but I couldn't quite get out close games that the guys pitched in. Like, if there's an option to add in, like, losing by 5 runs when they came in, I would add it, but I can't. So instead, I change it to a retrospective on the career of Skeeter Shelton.
Well, of course.
Who, like, he played 10 games for the Yankees in 1915. Hit 0.25, 0.71, 0.25. For a career WAR of -0.9.
Nice.
10 games.
That's terrifying.
And what did he do, like, defensively? Like, what was his defensive contribution?
He didn't make any errors, so there's that. I mean, 1915.
Good for him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could still use, like, total zone, like, apparently does work okay for historical stuff. I don't know if it even listed for him.
I don't see anything.
That's a pretty... I mean, at least he could say that was his career. That's a pretty... That's an achievement, I guess.
You know, you gotta do what you can.
Even when you go to his minor league page, he played until 1915, then made the majors 10 games, and then was just done.
How triumphant.
He started managing the next year.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Well, still, you know, I respect Skeeter Shelton. That was his name, right?
Yes. Andrew Kemper Skeeter Shelton.
Ah.
As Michael Kay would say if he was ever invited back for Old Timers Day. But he won't be because he's dead.
R.I.P.
Yes, that does happen when you play in 1950.
Yeah, I guess that'll happen. Well, it was like the one guy in the Barbercast where they were talking about it. It's like, oh, apparently he's not dead, even though he's 147.
Yes.
Well, since it's a bit of an abbreviated B-Rest segment, so we can do the game thing that I thought of, which is a pretty simple one that I think we've all played before. It's the guest members of the 2013 Yankees. But you obviously can't look at the roster, because that'd be...
Right.
But yeah, just name as many as you can, and whoever can name the most will be the winner of knowing too much about a terrible team.
So is it just like random players?
Yeah.
Like players that didn't play?
Can name anyone.
Oh, okay. Well, you start with the easiest one, you know, Mike Zagurski.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You got to get your Zagurski.
Brennan Bosch,
another good one.
Brent Lillibridge.
Yes.
Alberto Gonzalez.
The legend.
I raise you a Travis Ishikawa.
That's pitcher Alberto Gonzalez. Yes, Ishikawa is one game throw ride.
As I was going through, like, I was sorting by position, the worst Yankees war of all time, and Ishikawa is like ninth or first baseman in two at bats.
That's cold.
poor
struck
guy.
Struck out in both, so you know. All right, it's back to you, Matt F.
I'll actually go with the serious one, Mark Teixeira.
That's fair. He's only a semi-serious because, you know, he only played like 18 games.
Yeah, and he died.
I will go with, I will go with Corbin Joseph.
Jojo.
Oh, yeah. Travis Hafner.
Just as a side note, why did his brother hit 5 home runs in 5 games? Caleb Joseph has no business being good at baseball. But yes, Travis Hafner, the broken Travis Hafner.
Luis Cruz.
Ah, yes.
Evan Youkilis.
Knicks.
Knicks.
Right. Right fielder Lyle Overbay.
Had to keep his bat in the lineup.
Jim Miller.
Greatest pitcher of all time. Who will technically have a 2-year stint with the team in his career.
Yeah.
Guy who for like 2 weeks that we thought was amazing. Zoilo Almonte.
Oh, Zoilo. I always remember those first couple weeks. And then it's like... Oh.
It was a fun ride. And then he died.
Nooney.
Ah. The immortal.
Yes.
Probably the most mentioned player in the history of Pinstripe Valley, probably.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yep.
Yeah, Jeets.
Yep, yeah, Jeets.
And the S in Jeets is a 2.
Hmm?
I said the S in yeah, Jeets is a 2.
V2 pet.
You know what's really sad? Derek Jeter played as many games as or played one less game than Luis Cruz.
Yeah, that.
Excuse me, one more
season.
One more game than. All right. Next.
Chris Nelson.
Ah, of course. he's a good sleeper pick.
Okay. Ben Francisco.
The DH who couldn't DH.
God, I'm starting to run out of good ones now.
I just thought of a good one, but yeah.
Chris Boucher.
That is the opposite direction. Touche. What was that?
Austin Rowan.
Ah, yes. Another guy whose brother is doing better than him this year.
Yeah, not hitting wise. I don't think hitting wise though. He's hitting really poorly.
Yeah. God, Romine's with the team right now, actually, because you know McCann's on the DL, but he hasn't sniffed the field once, I don't think.
Doesn't he have like one at bat? I think he has the one at bat minus 100 WRC plus.
Yeah, and I think that was from earlier in the season too, because he was up for like a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He appeared in the game on the 11th, actually. Played one inning. Had an at-bat. Did nothing. So he's over 2 with a strikeout this year. One at-bat on April 8th and one at-bat on August 11th. Both against the Orioles. And actually, technically, he was a pinch hitter.
I have zero recollection of either at-bat.
Yeah. Technically, he was a pinch hitter in his most recent game. All right.
Well, sure.
Okay, mine is the great Vernon Wells.
Ah, the tweeter extraordinaire.
I would go with two strikes, Chris Stewart.
He struck out on strike.
A third strike, Chris. Nah, I'm good.
I'll go with Cervelli then, if we're going to go catchers. When he was good in April.
And then broke. And then got steroid suspended. Then broke some more.
Yep.
I will take the fourth catcher in J.R. Murphy, as he was known on.
Before his oil tycoon days.
Or he struck black gold.
Yes.
Robinson Cano.
Love that it took this long.
The actually good person.
Yes. I miss him.
Yeah.
I don't miss his contract, but I miss him.
Yeah. We'll go with another actually good person with Andy Pettit.
Oh, yeah.
Hirok.
Mo.
Yes. He is a guy of note, I think.
Yep, D-Rob.
He did some stuff.
Yes, D-Rob, another guy who is okay.
We'll go with pre-awesome Dellen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dellen, the beginnings. Actually, I guess that was 2011. But
when he started the game 162.
The greatest collection of players that we've discussed on the podcast before.
Hughes.
Oh, I just remembered a good one.
Yep, Hughes. Hughes and all the dingers.
Thomas Neal.
Thomas Neal, that is a great one. Remember when we were like clamoring for him to be called up because the outfield was so bad?
Yes. Yes. Then he came up and again like, nope.
And he only played like 4 games too or something like that, but he just wasn't good. I think he hit 5th one time though.
Probably.
Alright.
Starting to run out. Did Cody Epley pitch?
Cody Epley did pitch.
That's right.
Yeah, like one game in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he's in like the first 2 games and then he was gone. And I don't think he's pitched he's pitched in the majors. CC, yeah.
Chamberlain Chaba.
Yep. Pre-Yukon Mountain Man.
Pre-Yukon Shushing Mountain Man.
With this good buddy, Phil Hughes.
I said Hughes already.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh. Nova.
Nova, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a promise. Remember Nova threw, like, 2 shutouts? That was great.
Yeah.
Rip. Starting to run out of steam here. I'm sure that most of them are like relievers who pitch in like one game.
You're still missing some pretty obvious names out there.
Yes, I just that one. Oh yeah, probably.
A-Rod.
He was
a thing.
Oh, you know, minor story.
Yeah.
Matt Daly.
Ah, yes. The trivia answer, Matt Daly.
Curtis Granderson.
Yes, he of the double broken hand.
Ezer Cabral.
Yes. Before he hit all those batters in one inning.
Yeah, it took a while for him to become a joke, but he's up there with anyone from that team.
Gardner.
Yes. He's okay.
Sean Kelly.
Sean Kelly, yep.
Adam Warren,
yep.
Boone Logan.
Boone Logan, who now has a big contract in the Rockies. Which is, you know, bold strategy.
What can go wrong? David Phelps.
Yep.
Oh, Vidal Nuño.
The future.
Oh, yeah, five games, yeah.
Should have kept. 10 names left.
Let's see. 10 names. God, I'm running out of steam.
Couple big names, too. Not like huge names, but there relevant are. Names. Okay. You would know them. Well, you technically know all of these people.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, I know all of them. It's a matter of remembering them. I don't know. I'm blank at this
there
point.
There are three guys who you haven't named who are currently on the team.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just don't remember. Off the top of my head.
All right, how many more? Okay, so I think Meta wins this, then. Unless you could...
Yeah.
How many more can you go, Meta?
Did we mention Euclid?
You did mention Euclid, yeah.
Yeah,
did
mention
Euclid. Three that are still on the team. All right. I'm guessing we're missing a bunch of the bullpen guys.
One guy that's in the bullpen right now, who you haven't named, and one guy who was in the bullpen earlier this year.
Yeah, I'm blank there.
You think you're done, Matt F?
I feel like there's one on like the tip of my head, but I can't like pull the name out. I can picture him, but I can't. Yeah, I got nothing.
David Huff.
Oh.
And earlier this year, his Lord Preston Claiborne.
Oh, that's what I couldn't figure out.
And the other two active players you didn't name, Ichiro and Brendan Ryan, too.
Oh.
And also, you missed Alfonso Soriano, David Adam.
Oh, because I'm thinking of bad 2013.
David Adams, Mark Reynolds, Reed Brignac.
Oh, yeah.
Brett Marshall. Of course, Milky Mesa. But still, that was like I think a good 46 of the 56. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I like your strategy of going for the obscure people first, though.
There are useful things that could be in our brain, but instead we choose to remember that. Chris Buczek and Jim Miller on the 2013 Yankees.
Good old...
Yeah, and Zagurski.
Well, I don't think anyone could forget Zagurski.
No.
He's just a legend, you know. Where were you when Mike Zagurski pitched at Fenway?
Recapping that game.
Okay. Well, I think that'll do it for most of the content on the Pinstripe Valley podcast. Now we'll wrap it up with the Yankee and the... Mitre of the Week. Matt F., your Yankee of the Week.
I'll give it to Michael Pineda.
Pineda's fair, yeah. He did stuff and looks good.
Yeah, he was one of the lone bright spots.
Yep. All right, Matt P., your Yankee of the Week.
Mine is going to be Francisco Cervelli, actually. Filling in for Brian McCann. Had a home run. Has been playing very good defense.
He's doing his thing.
Good for you. Yeah, like, he's actually, I think, a very, very good backup catcher. It's just he's never healthy enough to be there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
not... But he would, I think... Yeah, I think, in my opinion, he would actually be a good everyday catcher if he wasn't hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, alas.
I'll certainly take him as a backup over Chris Stewart.
Yep, yep. My Yankee of the Week... Yeah, I'll go with Jacoby Ellsbury. Since he's one of the few Yankees actually doing anything. Yeah, he, you know, and he homered in the past week, too. And he made sure that the Yankees did not get shut out in back-to-back games for the first time this century. So that's nice. Kind of him.
Yeah.
All right. And...
That home run... No, that home run, like...
The ultimate troll home run.
I'll come out and say I predicted it. Yeah.
Two outs, ninth inning.
Because the whole game, like, as the game was going on, like, they weren't scoring, and, like, all the stats start coming out, they haven't been shut out twice in a row in a long time. It's like, of course someone's gonna, like, be like, ninth inning, nothing will matter anymore, and someone will just, like, run into one. And, yeah, it happened.
Yay. I feel like we should also give an honorable mention to Chase Headley for his defense.
Yes, definitely.
Alright. And, Matt F., your Mitre of the Week.
Let's give it to Capuano.
That's fair. He was not great. Not terrible, but not really good either.
I mean, it was going alright for a while there, but...
Then he's like, oh right, I'm Capuano. This can't last. Alright, Matt P., your Mitre of the Week.
Mine is Derek Jeter.
Oh, yeah, Captain's not doing well.
Very, very ugly. Oh, and his nice isolated power, that's my favorite part of his stat line, an isolated power of .056. Nice.
Yeah, Jeets.
Yeah. Season 2 watch.
Well, I'll do you a handful of percentage points better and go with Martin Prado, who has an isolated power of 0.
Yeah. That
143 batting average with a 182 OBP. So good for you. Also...
But he did make that leaping catch.
Yeah, he did make that leaping catch, so that's true. You know what? Actually... I'll take it back for that leaping catch. That was cool. Sean Kelly has been terrible in pretty much every game he appeared in the past week. Just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, can I give back my Capuano and pick Adam Warren?
Oh, yeah, that's... He's awesome.
I forgot about him.
He's also crashing.
Totally fair.
David Huff, also not good.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty much everyone in the bullpen, except for, like, David Robertson, hasn't really pitched. And Dylan, I'll forgive for that, you know, the one home run to Scope. But everyone else.
Yeah.
No.
Dylan has some leeway.
Oh, and, you know, but going back to Yankee of the Week, honor Yankee of the Week to Brian Mitchell, too. He's back down now because he was called up for, because he sent down and Pineda came back. But, you know, he had a nice major league debut and he struck out a couple batters. Good for him. Okay, so that'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Alley podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow our GIFs account at PSA_GIFs. You can follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. You can follow Matt F. on Twitter at MattF15. You can follow Matt Provenzano on Twitter at MattProv94. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/PinstripeAlley. Rate and review us on iTunes. Always look forward to your iTunes reviews. And send in your tweet bag questions. We love reading them on the podcast and talk about whatever your fancy is. So, you guys have anything else?
No.
Send in your suggestions on what the mascots could do.
Oh, yes.
Instead of a home run derby.
Oh, yeah. Who?
But don't be weird.
If you have
it.
Any favorites, you know. And also... I guess we'll just hope the Yankees don't fall out of the race in the next week against the Yeah. They're playing the Rays this weekend, right?
Yes.
Yep. Playing the Rays.
Hopefully, yep. Hopefully we don't have an off-season podcast next week.
Yeah, they're playing. So they're playing the Rays for three games over the weekend, and then they're playing the Astros.
And then the Astros
at home.
And then the White Sox.
Yeah.
They're playing. They're playing the Rays, the Astros, and then the White Sox in the nine-game stretch.
Yeah.
So
if they don't beat up on them, then it's like, what are you even doing here? So, well.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have to have Dean Anna pitch against the Rays this time. That would be really weird.
Oh, yeah. They call him back.
That'd be very weird. There'd be, like, there'd be security everywhere. What is a release player doing pitching for another team in a different city?
Oh, you know.
We live in
the
glory days.
Throws one pitch.
Well, hopefully the Yankees will get back into the race, or at least not be embarrassing. So, from Matt F and Matt P, have a good night.